Good morning. We're going to have another Bible reading.
This is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John didn't want to baptize him. "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you," he said. "So why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It must be done, because we must do everything that is right." So then John baptized him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him."
Jesus had a life like no other, a life that was transient from time of birth through the escape to Egypt, the return to Nazareth, and John preparing the way. A young minister told the story of his first baptism. The person to be baptized was also a young man. How different would it be being on the other side? The day came. The candidate walked into the water, having responded to the questions that had been put before him. The minister walked him to the deep end and gently lowered him backwards into the water and said the famous words, "I baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And as he was doing it, he felt the young man tense. There was like a shock. And he thought, is this what the Holy Spirit is really like? Well, having thought to himself, wow, this person's sins really are forgiven. They've received the Holy Spirit. At the conclusion of the service, the minister asked the young men, "How did you feel about the Holy Spirit coming upon you?" "Not sure," replied the young man, "but I did feel it when you hit my head on the baptistry steps." How many ministers have actually worried about that happening? And I wonder how many it has happened to. We can tell many different stories about baptism, but the one thing we can all agree on, that it's a special time of celebration in the life of the individual and the church. The children heard of Jesus growing up to the age of 12. So what happened in those 18 years between then and Jesus, what appears to be the start of his public ministry? Well, we understand that he was a carpenter, learning his trade from his father, Joseph, caring for his family following Joseph's death, doing what a normal son might do. But he was no ordinary son. We see Jesus reaching out to his cousin John, who had a ministry all of his own. An itinerant ministry. There was John out there in the wilderness. And Jesus knew that he needed to be baptized by John. After all, John was only some months older, about 6 months older than Jesus himself. We have that account where Mary goes to his mother. But it's believed that the age is significant around 30, as this was the time when men began to start serving in the tent of meeting. And we read in Numbers 4, verse 3, "Count all the men from 30 to 50 years of age who come to serve in the work in the tent of meeting." We read in Scripture, and we understand the relevance of John's ministry, the role that he would play in preparing Jesus for the journey ahead. Some words from Mark chapter 1. In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' So John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Powerful words. John carrying out what God had called him to do in his ministry. John's baptism was one of repentance. Through his ministry, he made people aware of their sins and the need for repentance. What he was offering was hope for the people who thought that he was God's messenger. Jesus was without sin, so why did he need to be baptized? Well, his identity was revealed at his baptism. And again, we find in Matthew 3, 16 and 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." It was only at this point that John was able to realize that this was the Messiah. We have the identity of Jesus revealed as part of the Trinity: the baptism of the Son, the anointing of the Spirit, the word of the Father. Jesus had no need to repent, but it was a move to obedience. Jesus was teacher, prophet, priest, savior, and all of this was shown at his baptism. We are told of a voice from heaven: "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Jesus did what he did so that he might identify himself with sinners, though not guilty of sin himself. Jesus was participating in human experience, descending to earth, being God among us. When all had been baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Jesus made a public statement. He could have asked John quite simply, very much on the quiet, "Do this for me." But he wanted to share it. For Jesus knew the significance of a public declaration. Jesus was baptized to give us an example to follow. Jesus was born a leader. He shared a life of submission and obedience. Jesus was baptized and anointed for ministry. His life became very public. His life was sealed by God with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We say that being baptized in water by submersion represents the washing of the old life and the starting of a new. But I think it's more significant even than that. While we'll not be saved by baptism alone, for let's face it, of all of those who've been baptized, have we lived a perfect life? We'd like to think we've lived a good life, maybe. But we all still need that reassurance and that forgiveness from God for the things that are not so good. The ministry of Jesus was short. It was 3 years, but it was full of wonder and awe. And so the challenge is into our lives, so that we can hear a voice from heaven say, "This is my Son, this is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Someone whom I love." We're called to listen for the still small voice of God. Jesus is working his purpose out in the lives of many as he seeks to work in ours. But when we talk about a journey, his journey continued. It was not just his baptism, but that was a significant part. It goes on to the temptation, to Jesus calling the disciples, for him sitting there teaching and preaching, taking time out to pray, whether it be by the sea in a boat or up a mountain, taking time out to be with God, giving warnings out to the people who gathered, do not store up treasures on earth. He spends time compassionately healing the sick, the blind, the deaf. And he gives warnings. He gives warnings. In Matthew, he talks about the workers are few, and asks God to send out the workers for the harvest. And then, of course, he sends out the 12 disciples that he had chosen during that early part of his ministry. He sends them out to go and to do and to tell. And during that time, we have the account of John the Baptist being beheaded. As it goes through, we have the transfiguration. We have the question, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? And then there's this thing about little children. Suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus wanted little children to know and to understand. And of course, as we celebrate, we have that joyful return, that entry into Jerusalem. And then we have the disciples arguing amongst themselves. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? And then, just before that Passover meal, we have that account of the betrayal by Judas. For what? 30 pieces of silver? For Judas, his journey ended at that moment. For his life had no value. For his life was taken. And then we see Jesus joining together with the other disciples, sharing that Passover meal, or as we call it so often, the Lord's Supper. And Jesus says to them, take this bread, take this wine, and remember me. Do it as often as you meet together. As you go on that journey, do this in memory of me. And Jesus simply asks his disciples, as they go out into the garden to watch and pray, and when he goes back, he finds them sleeping. Could you not just stay awake for a little while? Jesus knew that his time was come. There was to be the trial and the crucifixion. As if that was the end of the journey. But no, there was the burial, the resurrection, the encounter in the garden with Mary. Can you imagine what it was like for Mary meeting Jesus on that morning? She didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener. But when he spoke, she knew. She too had been on a journey. And then that encounter in the upper room with Thomas. Unless I can put my fingers into the holes, unless I can put my hand into the side, I can't believe. But he did believe. And we're called to follow the example of Jesus. Our journey may be filled with love and harmony. It might keep us in step with him. But our journey might be so different as well. It may be full of ups and downs, topsy-turvy. Heartache, pain, joy. Our lives are like that. That is the journey that we're called to. But the journey that we're called to is to pray. We're called to pray for the church, for the community, for the people within it, for those of our friends who we've heard about who are not well. We are going on a journey where we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We need to pray for the church in this time of change. we want to pray that God will reveal his plans as we move forward into a new era. We want to ask God to give us a new vision. We want to ask God to open our eyes that we might see what it is that he's calling us to. But David's going to sing a song for us as we sit quietly.
Joy was mingled with the tears she'd